everybody. This is another episode of Fungula Podcast. I'm going to do the intro just right away, so I can't even recap and tell you guys what we talked about, because we haven't talked about it yet. This is brand new. It's happening in the moment, right now. This is our New Year's episode. We're going to talk about some of our favorite episode or moments from this past year. We're going to talk about our own personal gratitude and attitude of the year, and maybe some resolutions. Maybe some of you sent us some of your resolutions. We're going to get into it. If you want to call, tell us what you're grateful for, what you're mad about. There's a hotline number you can call and an email, and Danielle will tell you how to do all that.
Yes. So give us a call at 747-300-5380, or you can email us at fungulapodcast@gmail.com or on angela.com. There is also a form you can fill out there.
Wonderful. Now let's jump right in, shall we?
All right.
We were supposed to have started recording about 15 minutes ago, but right as we're about to record, Danielle goes to move her laptop and it bumps her water. When I say bump, her water went flying.
It was a full jar.
Yes.
And now we've got maybe half an inch of water left.
I like how you called it half an inch and not like a quarter of a cup or like something.
Actually,
like
it's probably a full inch now that I'm looking at it. If you do the thumb.
It has the measurements right there on the side.
Oh. But they don't go down that far.
That's how much water is not left, you guys.
Hope I don't get thirsty.
Yes. Okay. We're here, you guys. It's the end of the year, beginning of the year is what's happening. When this episode comes out, it's the end for a couple days and the new for a couple days. I personally, how do you feel around New Year's Eve? Are you happy or are you sad?
I don't think I'm happy or I'm sad. It's more of I feel like I get excited around New Year's Eve and a New Year's Eve party, and I feel like I always creates so much expectation in my head and it never meets the expectation.
I mean, I guess not about a party and like a celebration, but like thinking about, are you more of, yay, the end of the year, a new year is coming, I get to have a new year, or are you more like, oh, the end of a year, like,
neither. I'm just more like, up, and now we're in January and here's what my January calendar looks like, and I just another month.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Any kind of like...
You know, I feel like my birthday is a bigger marker for me.
Oh, okay.
I think of years in terms of my birthday.
Oh, all right.
Which is in July. So that's like, we're already halfway. But I think, yeah, my brain's more like, I'm more sad that Christmas is over. I get sad about Christmas being over.
Yep.
But then also at the same time, when we hit New Year's, I'm like, I'm done. I'm done with Christmas. Boom, we're moving on.
It's a perfect amount of time.
Yeah. Get it out.
I know I said I wanted more. That was a lie.
Yeah. Because at that point, too, I'm like, I'm sad it's over. So I'm like, okay, then take away everything that reminds me about it.
Yeah.
Move on. Let's move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't ever really, I think sometimes I am kind of like, okay, new year, this year's going to be different. Mm-hmm. And then it never is.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have different things in my life that mark a new beginning or whatever.
That's good. I think I've always put too much pressure on a new year. Like I need to go journal, reflect, plan, what do I want to do better, boo 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 boo. And I think maybe it would be like a weight of, well, I have to reflect and I have to do resolutions and I have to, you know, have cast a vision for the year. Like I think I would always put too much on me for New Year's. But it's kind of, to me, I think of things in the same way, like sunsets and sunrises. I prefer a sunrise, where a sunrise feels hopeful. It feels like a new day. Anything is possible. And a sunset signifies the end of something, like the end of the day, the end of a season, the end of an era. It's the end of an era. You know what I mean? Like it's like the end of a year. For some reason I get like melancholy on the inside, and I think that's just because like I get melancholy for the end of things.
Yeah.
Even if the year wasn't the best year, it's the end of something. So I get like a little moody about it, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But then I also get excited for the new year.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited, like, what's possible? What are we going to do? And I will say, I used to get more excited when I was younger, I think,
mm-hmm.
when I was more dreamy. And I was okay. more like, anything's possible. What do I want to do? What are my mm-hmm. goals? Blah, blah, blah. And now it's more like another day.
Yeah.
You know, well, we got to keep going. Got to keep doing this. Got to blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But I still did a vision board party last year. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Yeah. I did one too.
It's more like an art project day. Like, yeah, let's just do a craft.
It's crafts.
Yeah.
It's mostly my vision board is just the things that I like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, just more of this, please.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the same way you decorate your binder in high school, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure my vision board this past year was just pictures of food in like some of my favorite cities and Glenn Powell wearing a cowboy hat.
So, love that. Love yeah. that for you.
Yeah. So that was my vision board.
I feel like my vision board is usually old dreams.
Mm.
Like, this is what I've said I've wanted for years, so let me put this here.
Okay.
And then I'm like, do I still want that? Or is that just like something I've always said, wanted?
Yeah.
Like, I've always wanted a sitcom.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So every year vision board, there's something about a sitcom. I'll have like a little Friends cast picture or mm-hmm. or lights, camera, action or like mm-hmm. some sort of whatever. And I think I want that still.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. But I think I just put it on out of like.
Part of me feels like you are probably content where you're at right now. And then it's sort of like, I would still love for this to happen, but if it doesn't, yeah. oh well.
Yeah.
And then if it does, like, gravy, you
but
know?
But it's not like an active, like.
Let's go for it.
Let me think yeah. about it all day. Because when I was younger, I was thinking about it all day. Yeah. I'd be walking through Starbucks being like, okay, who am I going to meet today? What producer am I going to cross paths with? It's going to be something yeah. along my journey. And just like, you know, manifesting all those, mm-hmm. like, what do I want? And then now I'm mm-hmm. I'm just like,
I mean, I do think that just happens when you get older. I think you just get, I don't know if it's like maturity or it's just you've been around. So you've seen it.
Jaded.
I don't know if that's the right. I don't know. Because
is it good or bad?
I don't know. Because I was the same way. Like when I first moved out to LA, it was so like, I'm going to make it. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to blah, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. And then at this point now, it's like I have found success in different areas, in areas that I never expected and never even. I mean, my entire career in unscripted reality TV, I didn't even know those jobs existed until I was in that job, which mm-hmm. is crazy to think about. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, that's such a cool path I got to take, like such a cool adventure. And that's not anything I ever pictured for myself. But I wouldn't change it. Like, I'm yeah. so grateful for it because it led me to where I am today. But I do think things start to shift. You do get jaded. You do get more exposed to whatever industry that you're in, whether it's education or, you know, business, corporate, finance, entertainment, whatever. You're in those worlds long enough to where you do see somebody in the position of the dream that you always had. And you might look back and go, oh, actually, I don't think I want that. Now that I've yeah. seen it.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's necessarily what I always pictured or what I like. You always have this view of what you think you want.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then you see it and you kind of go, oh, maybe. But maybe you do still want it. Maybe you do see it and you go, yeah.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
I think there's part of me. I go back and forth on this. There's part of me that's like, maybe I don't want it. And then there's part of me that's like, no, I think I've just been jaded and told no too many times to mm-hmm. where I'm like, it hurts too much to dream for it. So let me just not.
Yeah.
And then there's part of me that's like, I'm too old. Even though I know that's not true.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Leanne Morgan.
Oh, I know.
Perfect example.
I know.
Didn't get her dream roles, her own sitcom until she's in her 50s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
And there's a lot of people who have stories like that.
Yeah. So. I know that it's not, but that is something I do tell myself. Mm-hmm. I'm too old. And I think it's because every vision board leading up to was like me, I'm going to be the, you know, the college girl that comes home, and then that ship sailed. And then, okay, well, I'm going to be the young professional, and then that ship sailed. And then, like, okay, young mom? Can I be young mom? Like, you know what? I'm going to be grandma. I'm going to be, listen, I'm going to be cool abuela. And
you are far from being an abuelo right now.
I know,
but
I know. But that's what a thing I tell myself in my head is like, ah.
Well, I know, because, you know, I always think about, I can't think of her name, but she is an actress. I think she, I don't know if she's still alive. She was on the West Wing, and she played the president's, like, secretary assistant. And she, spoiler alert for a series that's been out for several decades, I feel like years, she dies in the show. And I looked it up because I was like, I know she didn't die in real life. I was like, why did she change? Whatever. But that was her first acting gig. And
no
she,
way.
I think, was in her 60s or 70s.
No way.
And she had been like a nurse, had raised a family, like all of this stuff. And just, and I like always, I think she had always done like community theater or acting or something like that, but had these other paths. And then just kind of started taking it more seriously as she got older. And I saw that and I honestly was like, I want to do that. I'd be down for that. Like, not making your quote unquote big break. But I also look at her life and I'm like, she had a very fulfilled life. Like, I don't know if that's what she would say, but from my perspective, it looks like she had a very wonderful, lovely life, well-rounded, and still got to do that, still got to play this role whose name I'm blanking on, but she's one of my favorites.
If I could be guaranteed that when I got to a certain age that I had a gig waiting for me, I would dip out right now and I'd be like, I'm just gonna go raise my daughter and do all the fun things, just be super uber present with her. I don't need a nanny, I don't need anybody, because I'm just gonna be home doing, this is my job, this is my everything now. And then maybe when she's older, living her life, then be like, okay, you know, I'm gonna go be on this sitcom. Like, if I could just be like, I'm gonna go be on that sitcom, and then be on the sitcom,
like, oh, Angela called.
That would be great. Take 20 years off and then just be like, I'm going to go on tour. And then all of a sudden, like, people still care and they buy tickets to your tour when they forgot about you. All your fans are long gone by now. I don't know.
Mrs. Landingham is the character's name. I don't remember the actress's name.
Okay.
That was the character's name.
I said, oh, like, I know. Oh, I never seen the show. I don't watch stuff.
Well, it is one of my favorite shows. I've talked about it on here before. But, I think that would be... Like, you kind of, like, disappear, and then you come back, and everyone's feeling nostalgic. Listen, there's money in nostalgia these days. Let me tell you. The millennials, our generation, obsessed with nostalgia. So I think it could work. I think there's a market for it, I think.
So this is our goodbye episode, you guys. I'm on my way out.
Catch you in 20 years. Thank you so much.
Oh, man. This past year was fun with Fungula and our guests that we had. And I love that some of our guests, like, pop up out of nowhere. Like,
and this was our first full year of weekly episodes.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you're right. Our first full year of weekly episodes. That's so cool. Look at us go. Like, how guests would pop up out of nowhere. So you guys see... There's a guest sitting in a chair, but you have no idea how they got to that chair. Some of it's personal relationships. Some of it, I call a friend and be like, hey, girl, you want to be on my podcast? Other times it's like through a publicist emailing, like, how about so-and-so for the podcast? And then this one particular guest came from a DM. She hit me in my DMs and was like, hey, I'm coming to your show when you're in New Mexico. Would love to meet you, or like something like that. And it was Holly Holm. And I was like, oh my God, do you want to be on my podcast? And she was like, yeah, I'll be on your podcast. So it worked out perfectly. And that was our very first road episode. We brought all of our equipment on the tour bus.
And we got to do it on the stage. We haven't been able to do that since.
Yeah. I know. That was a vibe. That was fun. So it was our first road episode. Holly lives in New Mexico. She came in early before the show, did an episode, and came back with her friends, and it was great, and that was so fun. So I love how some of our guests have just, like, popped up out of nowhere. And even oh my God, his brain, I said Matt Matthews, but it's not Matt Matthews.
Michael Burke.
Michael Burke. That was another one that hit me in the DMs and was like, oh my gosh, you're coming to Wilmington, North Carolina? I live here. And I was like, what? Why you live in Wilmington, North Carolina? Like, for some reason, you see like social media, mm-hmm. like famous people, you think, oh, they live in LA or New York or like, you know, one of the mains. But obviously in this day of social media, you can live anywhere in the entire world.
Yeah.
So, but when he said, I'm in Wilmington, I was like, what? Doing Wilmington? And I was like, you want to be on the podcast? And he's like, yes. Yeah. So that was another one. So I love how some of these guests have popped up out of nowhere and we're like, yes, what a catch, what a score. And I've had so many favorites. Michael Burke was a favorite conversation. Some of my favorite episodes are for different reasons. One, because we laughed so much and I love that. Michael Burke was a very laughy episode. Lindsay Rush was one of my favorite laughy episodes. I was crying laughing, and it was just one of those where the energy in your body is just like, my endorphins right now are going crazy, and I love it.
It was good.
Lindsay Rush was one of my favorite episodes to laugh at. I love laughing with Amber Autry.
I was about to say, I was like, I felt the laughiest, the giggliest with Amber's episode.
Amber Autry. I love her episode because we laugh so much, but also is so heartfelt and just talking about therapy. I remember that was the episode where I remembered a girl that I bullied and I apologized to her in the camera.
Yeah. Did you ever hear from her?
No.
Oh.
She
has you blocked, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good one.
I remember we had our phrase, our chug-a-mug, a chug-a-mug moment. I remember that.
And here I am, chug a mug.
Yeah, and we kept saying trademark.
What were some of your favorite episodes?
I loved our On the Road episode with Mal. I love hearing...
You did? I thought that was boring. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Don't play into his insecurities. No, because you guys have been together for so long, and so I love hearing stories about crazy things that have happened with you guys, because there are definitely some crazy moments that happen when you're on tour, and so they're fun to like share and tell everyone and just be like, this is a weird job, like this is, I don't know how to half the time I don't know how to explain what it is that I do, and so it's just fun to have other people who understand that and can talk to it, and so I just love those episodes with him too, just fun. It's, you know, reminiscing on tour. I mean, this was a big year for tour. I mean, like, speaking back to how you said about looking forward to the new year or whatever, I mean, last year all I could think about was tour. So my brain wasn't like 2025, I'm gonna do this. My brain was like, it's tour, next year is tour, that's all I'm focused on. I can't think about anything else. So those were some of my favorites.
You know another episode that made me laugh a lot? Katie Cazorla.
Oh, yes. Oh, that one was hilarious. Katie? And you learning about what labubus are?
Oh, yeah. Katie Cazorla. Oh, my God. I love her.
Yeah.
That was a really good one. I also enjoyed the episodes that are, like, I learned something. They're heartfelt. Like Kathy Heller. I always feel magical around Kathy Heller. She just, like, speaks right to your soul, and you're just like, oh my God, everything you're saying, Kathy Heller. I loved Leanne Kreischer.
Leanne Kreischer's loved that episode.
Loved Leanne, and just talking about like women's health issues, and I learned
a lot from that one.
Yes, just the hormones and stuff, and she was talking about her doctor. I remember even after that, I texted her, I think like two different times, to be like, what kind of doctor is it again? Like, what do I look for?
Because everything that she learned too about the faults in the medical industry for women, and just how there's so much stuff about women that is not researched or studied, and just kind of like tossed to the side, and how much she kind of became an advocate for that sort of, in a way. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of, I also really enjoy the episodes where I'm kind of like low key fangirling a little bit.
Like who?
Like Patrick Warburton was so fun for me. Like that was so, you know, his voice is so iconic from different Disney movies, and then He's also in the pre-show video for,
and we had just talked about one of his movies before he came.
Oh, we did, and you
and I couldn't remember.
We were struggling to figure out what movie. Like, you were like, "It's a giraffe or a horse," and I was like, "What are you talking about?" The whole time you meant a llama.
Yeah,
and but at Disneyland, not to bring it up again, but at the California Adventure, the Soarin' Over the World or Soarin' Over California ride, he's the pre-show video for that.
Oh, how funny.
The video that's...
As him or as a character?
As him.
Oh, okay.
And he comes in and he tells you how to buckle your seatbelt, how to take that's your stuff funny. Off and put it under the seat. And he's like, all right, enjoy your flight. You know, in his in his voice. And it's so...
And also going back to how sometimes we... A guest just pop up and we had no idea we were going to be interviewing this person.
Yeah.
Patrick was one of those. So we're talking about that movie not knowing... We didn't know we were going to have him on the episode, on a podcast.
Scheduled yet. No.
Yeah. That came from our, we have the same social media team and they pitched him to us. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes. And then when I was going through his stuff and I go, that's the movie.
That's when we figured it out. Yeah.
That's the one.
And I was so annoyed because I was like, I didn't even, I think I might have guessed it. But then you were like, no.
Probably.
Yeah.
And I was like, mm-mm, not it. No. Yeah. Something else. Yeah. That was a giraffe. I also enjoyed the episodes with my sister and my brother. Oh my God, we should bring your sister on one time. We're going to do it.
Okay.
We're going to do it. Going to do it. Okay. But I enjoyed the episode with my sister and my brother because we laugh a lot. We're a vibe. Also, the episode with my sister, they're very vulnerable.
Yeah.
Got into some stuff.
I know, and they're both so same but different. You know, like obviously grew up in the same house, but such vastly different personalities and approach to life. And
we had our first bathroom break mid episode with my brother.
We did.
That was fun. So yeah, those are some of my favorite episodes. If you're watching this on YouTube, let us know in the comments what were your favorite episodes or episode moments or anything that you took away, a laugh moment, anything like that. I'm so curious. What about personally, though, like this past year, some gratitudes of 2025?
Or mattitude.
And a mattitude. Yeah, let's do mattitude first. Mattitude of 2025.
Of like the year as a whole?
Yeah, as a whole, or just one that just pops out at you.
You know what I will say, I have a mattitude, I'm still thinking about it. And this happened several weeks ago.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I told you about it. But I am still thinking about this Uber driver that Alex and I had. It was one night in Cleveland. We went to go see the band Lawrence at the House of Blues. They happened to be
so good
in town.
I mean, I wasn't there, but the band is good.
Which that's kind of been a fun thing, at least for Alex and I and everybody, just whenever we have off days in cities, being like, who else is in town? Who else should we go, you know, see? And they're one of my favorite bands, and you should go see them if you haven't. But we get into, obviously our Uber driver picks us up from the tour bus. Naturally, they're going to be like, what is, what's this? What's going on? And so Alex, we tell him like, we work with a comedian. We're in town, tour manager, videographer, blah, blah, blah. Oh, what comedian? Angela Johnson, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, oh, never heard of her. But he had first said, we work for a comedian. Who is he? And I immediately clocked the who is he? And I was like, oh, she is Angela Johnson. And in that moment, I was like, oh, I think I hate this guy. I was like, oh, no, this is not great.
He thinks Alex is the tour manager.
Yeah, or something. So, and I'm sitting behind him, like I'm behind the driver. And so first I clock that. And so we tell him and he's like, oh, I've never heard of her. And I was like, so then I am like, yeah, we're on a tour with her. It's her seventh tour. She's got six specials. Like I'm instantly being like, she's legit. Like she's very successful. Like you should look her up. Like I even said something like, yeah, she's been around. Like she's old school. Like she's real deal. I'm trying to be like,
I will burn her just so I could win this conversation.
But I was like, she's like, we're not some new like yuppie whatever. I was like, she's comedy standard over here. And so then he starts saying like, oh, I'm more of a Cats Williams or I'm more of a, you know, Eddie Murphy, I don't know, whoever. Like, he has some really great comedians where I'm like, yeah, I love, but it's all guys. Every guy. And I almost wanted to be like, name a female comedian, don't say Amy Schumer. But I didn't. I was like, be chill. And so I sort of zone out of the conversation. I let Alex, I was like, I get it. Alex is your dude, bro. Talk to him. Then they're talking, they say something about Kevin Hart, and I make a little quip. I make a little short joke. It's low-hanging fruit, short joke. Just, yeah. It's an easy thing. I say it, and the driver goes, that was actually pretty funny. Flames on the side of my face, like fumes. I was like, actually, and I wanted to be like, why actually funny? Because I'm a woman? Is that why what I said was actually kind of funny? And it just like irked me so. It ruined the entire car ride. We got stuck behind a train.
Oh, no.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I want out of this car so bad. I was like, I'm so annoyed. I'm so mad at this guy who clearly does not think women are funny and is probably a little bit misogynistic. And I just like, And Mal and I have had this conversation. He's talked about it. How like actually saying actually in a sentence is so rude. Like it's so like, oh, like, because he'll get that too. Like, he'll have people who come up to him at the end of the night and be like, hey, man, you were actually pretty funny. And it's like, oh, you could have just said pretty funny. Like, you didn't have to say, like.
Yeah, actually gives it, like, that.
Like, I had.
I didn't think you were going to be. Yeah. Like, I had no expectation. Like, that kind of whatever. And, like,
Yeah. And so that's how that Uber driver said it. Like, oh, you're a woman. You made me laugh. What were the chances?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. And I'm like, and the joke, my brain is like, not even my best work. Pretty.
But that's the kind of comedy he likes.
Yeah.
That real low-hanging fruit, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. But that really still, it's still in the back of my head sometimes. I still think about it.
Why do you think it bothers you so much?
Because it's just, I feel like that's, every female in comedy struggle is the fighting the dude that doesn't think women are funny. Like, I feel like that, and it's, I don't know, the world's oldest fight as far as in comedy world. Like, I feel like that's the number one main struggle that women in comedy face is people thinking that women aren't funny. But then you do have the opposite of people. I think it was Michael Burke that was like, I think only women are funny.
Yeah.
And I was like, love you.
Yeah.
But it's like tired. It's like, we have so many incredible female comedians.
We have really good examples, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's right here. And
thank you so much.
But not just you, but there's just an ample supply of really talented, hilarious women who do stand up or improv or in sitcoms or what I'm like, they're hysterical. They're so funny. They're so smart. And so to just write them off because you're like, oh, it's a woman. It's just so lame. It's lame.
It's so interesting to think, like, you know, we get a lot of comments on social media that are like, women aren't funny. Anytime like I post a stand up clip, that ends up in feeds that are not my followers. And anytime I see a comment from a dude that's like, women aren't funny, I'm like curious as to the evolvement of their thinking, like why they wouldn't think like, oh, it's just women and men are different. And maybe there's somebody for everybody type of thing. Like, maybe I just don't think this person is funny. But they just want to make like a blanket statement. Oh, like these type of people aren't funny. That it blows my mind to be like, that's how evolved your thinking is.
Yeah.
You know? So it really just comes down to that. Just men or women, whoever, anybody generalizing, you know, like it's just.
Because I think too, my brain is like, okay, if you don't think we're funny, then what else do you think negatively about us?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I go to the extreme and I'm like, do you think women aren't smart? You think all men are smarter than women? You think we're not capable of doing, I don't know. Like I'm like, if you think that, then you must think all these other things.
I personally have gotten to the point where I don't in my heart of hearts, I don't actually give it a lot of thought anymore. And I think it's because I have such an incredible fan base and such a, like, an amazing tour that I'm on, and like the amount of fun that I have telling jokes and the response that I get from an audience. And I know that I have an, let's say the audience is 100 people. There is at least 10 people that are not going to like my show tonight. And they could have been even excited to come to the show and they're going to leave disappointed. Like, nah, it wasn't as funny as the last time, or it wasn't as funny as I thought it would be, or whatever. I've been to shows where I've walked out going, I mean,
yeah,
it was all right. Yeah. It wasn't, and it knocked my side. This part was funny. I like this, but I wasn't really feeling it, you know? So I get it. Like, it's not going to be for everybody. However, when I'm in the moment and I'm feeling that laughter, I'm like, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. This is fire. So anytime, like, if I were to have heard that, oh, you're actually funny, oh, yeah, that was actually whatever, I'd just be like, oh, you're missing out, sir.
Yeah.
But I got to go do this sold out show real quick. So have a good day. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's like the online comments are like, whatever, they're faceless people, blah, blah, blah. But I think having that happen like directly to my face is what probably made it bother me more.
And he didn't even realize that he was doing that.
That too, where I was just like, ugh, you suck. But also like, ugh, be better. Like, I don't know. Just like, that's such a boring thing to think. Like, that's so lame.
Yeah.
It's so lame.
My Mattitude of this year, one that pops out to me, I mean, there could be so many, but something that pops out to me is the anxiety that I had before the tour started. Ooh, that one was overwhelming. Highly regretting that I planned a tour. Just everything was just like, why do I do this to myself? Oh my gosh. I didn't give myself enough breaks. I didn't give myself enough time off. And then the breaks that I did give myself, now I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Like, I'm doing other work things that aren't shows. And I had such bad anxiety, and my body was stressing out, that I got a cold sore. And this cold sore lasted weeks. Like, I could not get rid of this cold sore because my internally my body was just fritzing. It was fritzing out. Bonzo's trying to get out. Don't try to get back in then. Yeah, my body was just stressed and it was like manifesting in all these different ways. A cold sore, my eyelid was twitching. Oh my god, my eyelid was twitching for like a month. And I was like, do I gotta go to the doctor? Like, what is this? And it was just my anxiety, my cortisol, my stress, like everything in my body was on the fritz. And then once we got into the tour, it was fine.
Yeah,
everything was good. Everything. But it was also my first time touring with
a baby,
packing for a baby on a bus tour. What is it going to be like? How is she going to handle it? Like, all the what ifs. That's why I do my joke about that in my Technically Not Stalking tour. All the what ifs are what get me. What if this? What if she that? What if this? And part of it is to plan. I got to plan. Let me what if everything so I can plan accordingly. In case what if this, then let me bring this. What if this? Well, then I should bring one of these. But then all the what ifs get me in like a, oh, I should not do this. Let's just not go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think my pre-tour anxiety and stress that affected my body and my health is my Mattitude of the year for sure.
Yeah.
Gratitude. What's your gratitude of the year?
My gratitude of the year? I mean, not to just say the same thing that you just said as your Mattitude, but I mean, I feel like the tour has gone really well this year. This was the bulk of this year was tour, right? This coming year in 2026, it's just kind of like the last handful few cities in your special taping. So start getting anxious now. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Just kidding. But I I think I'm just really grateful that, like, sure, were there mishaps here and there? Like, you were saying, you know, what if, and my brain is like, and what if?
Mm.
What if? We'll deal with it. We'll figure it. Like, when have we ever not been able to solve the problem? When have we ever not been able to figure it out, or something will work itself out? Like, I definitely have moments where I would get anxious, and then it was like, for what?
Mm-hmm.
What? Okay, so the merch guy walked away. Whatever, I'll deal with it. I'll handle mm-hmm. it, you know? Or we ran out of stuff. Well, here, have this instead, you know? Yeah. And there was never any, like, actual serious, like, oh my God, this is going to change our lives mm-hmm. issues. And so I think anytime there was an issue, I sort of just was like, okay, well, we'll just deal with it now. We'll just figure it out, and then we'll move forward, and that's all you can do. And so I think I'm just really grateful that everything that we planned and worked for, I think it's really paid off. I think the tour has been really good and really fun and really successful, and the good so heavily outweighs the annoying, crappy, bummer parts of it.
Yeah.
I think there was so many fun moments and cities and adventures and stories and memories that we get to live out and relive, and even some of the bad ones, I mean are so fun. I mean that night when the toilet kind of like exploded and it smelled so bad, like that was hilarious, like that it was disgusting in the moment but so funny to think that that happened, like that's just so weird. And like this is a weird life that we get to live. It's mm-hmm. so nobody gets to experience, not a small percentage of people get to experience this. And so there's hard moments. There's moments that I cried and just was so tired and so stressed and just so overwhelmed. And I, you know, I'm the person on the tour that everybody needs. And so there's definitely, especially on the bus, I remember, it was one of our last stops on the fall run, second half of the bus, where I felt like all day it was like, Danielle, I have a question. Danielle, blah, blah, blah. Danielle, this. Blah. And I hit this moment where I was like, if I could just get 10 minutes alone to eat my dinner and nobody talk to me, that would be fantastic. And I remember I went downstairs, whatever venue we were in, it was that creepy. There was like the creepy elevator and there was all these tables. And I remember I went downstairs and I sat at this table and I was trying to eat by myself. And then Mal came down, Alex came down, and then you came down.
Oh, no.
And you guys were all talking. And I was just like, I didn't think anybody knew this was down here. Like, I thought, I was like, I can't escape. And I was like, I just need 5 minutes. Like, please.
Went from 10 to 5. Just give me 5.
Yeah. I was like, I just need somebody to not ask me a question. And because it does get overwhelming, but I also love it at the same time.
You are prepared to be a wife and a mother.
This is what this
you
has
will
been.
Be needed for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And so because I also too feel responsible for everybody on the bus, mm-hmm. and like just I can never go to sleep until the bus starts moving. Like, I'm just stressed that mm-hmm. either Eva won't show up or somebody's not on the bus, or I don't know, like I don't sleep well on the bus. But I feel like it went well. I feel like this has been a really good tour. And so I'm just grateful that like it's all paid off. It's like we still have stuff left, but mm-hmm. I don't stress about the shows, I think, too, because I've prepared so much for it.
Mm-hmm.
I only really get anxious if, like, the Nashville show, 60 people. I'm like, oh, it's a lot of people on the guest list. But mm-hmm. I'm like, as far as the show, I'm like, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
The show'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good. Let me see. A gratitude that I have from this past year. Okay, this just popped into my head.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I didn't have much ego about this tour, whereas in tours past, I wanted every single show to be sold out.
Mm.
And if it wasn't, I was pissed. And I'm doing the most. I'm doing radio interviews. I'm doing, let's partner with local social media influencers. Let's get news stations. Let's get all the things because I want each show to sell out. I want a sold out tour.
Yeah.
I did not have a sold out tour this year.
Pretty close.
It was close.
There was only really a handful of shows that.
Yeah. It was just a handful. Whereas the tour before, I only know of one show that I didn't sell out.
I know.
And this tour, there was a handful of shows that weren't sold out. But I didn't have like a bruised ego about it.
Yeah.
It was very just like, I don't have anything to prove to anyone. Like, I'm just here to have a good time. Yeah. To bring joy. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't wait till I say this joke and then hear the response from people. Mm-hmm. Like, I have my daughter.
Yeah.
I'm showing her. Like, she loves soundcheck. Like, that's another gratitude of mine. Just watching my daughter during soundcheck and the joy that she experiences when she watches my intro video and hears them announce my name. Mm-hmm. And just her learning my intro and knowing when to walk on stage and like how she dances when the music comes on. And I don't want to say no ego, because there, I would say like in the beginning when we had like a full weekend of like, this show's going to be not sold out and this show's going to be not sold out in two different cities. And I was like, what? Like, we're doing radio. And then I was like, meh. It's whatever. And then I remember seeing the house and how it wasn't sold. And like when the lights come on after to take a picture.
Yeah.
And during the show, I had a great time. So much fun. And then the lights come on and then I say like, oh, there's empty seats. Rude.
Yeah.
But then I just, it like dissipated. And it just became about having a good time. And I'm with my family. And we're in another city.
Yeah.
How cool is this?
I mean, I also kind of view it as like, okay, maybe this show is only 70% sold out, but that 70% wants to be there 100%.
Totally.
And like, you can see it in the meet and greet. You can see it in the people who are standing and clapping and like, and me and Alex interacting with them or Mal afterwards. And it's like, oh, I've waited months for this.
Yes, absolutely. So I think that's one of my gratitudes is that I didn't have a bruised ego about this tour not being sold out. I just have had a great time on this tour.
And Rosie's gotten to see, like, you were saying it too, like, what a life. Like, how weird. like she gets to see all these cities and the stage, and she doesn't know the show's not sold out.
Yeah. She said it's already too loud. She's already no. Yeah. I tried to bring her on stage the other night after the show because it was an early show.
Mm-hmm.
And she did not want to come out. She said, it's too loud.
Yeah.
Said, all right, then you don't have to come out.
She's actually like, actually, there's too many people.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thank you. That's one of my gratitudes. Another gratitude that I have is just thinking about like the beginning of the tour. We started in the snow.
Oh, my gosh. The weather we have gone through.
The weather we have gone through.
Is insane. Which... is that a gratitude?
Well, the gratitude is that we've gotten to experience all these different, like, the snow in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And then it's, like, hot
Texas
as heck.
Heat.
Yeah, in Texas. And then in Florida, going to Disney World. Oh. And, like, that is a gratitude. Oh. Going to Disney World with the whole team.
So fun.
And my Rosie dream. Being there and loving it. It was her first Disney experience. And she's never seen any of these cartoons. She doesn't know who Dumbo is.
You don't even need to, though.
No, she had the best time. The
parade,
the TikTok video we did with her, where I wasn't even on it. It was the
her
and the teacups.
Please, that is one of my favorite videos of her.
Pure joy, just screaming and having the best time. I couldn't go on it because I would throw up.
She was living her best life.
Yeah,
like she loved that.
Yeah. That's one of my gratitudes. Oh, that whole trip.
So
we had a
fun.
Great time.
I want to do it again, obviously.
Obvi.
I want you to take her at Christmas. It's I know. So
if
fun.
We will 1 year, not this year. Yeah. I'm tired.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you have New York, so. Yeah. But no, that's that's something I've talked about with friends before, where I'm like, I love being in all these different cities and just imagining my life in that city. Like if I lived in Kansas City, what's my
this
job?
This apartment building's cute.
Am I living in this downtown area? Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I have my cities that I hate, despise. But there are cities that I love going back to. And
what have been your sleeper cities that we got there and you're like, wait a minute, you're a vibe?
Oh, Madison, Wisconsin.
Madison, Wisconsin.
It was so cute. And I wish we could have had more time to... The street that the venue was on had a cute little coffee shop, cute vintage shop. And then after the show, Ange went to bed. And then me, Mal, and Alex went to this other part of town. And it had the restaurant / bar that we went to was such a vibe. It was so cool. And it was surrounded by all these other cool places. And I was like, okay, this is a pretty legit city that I never really spent a lot of time in or explored. And I also really loved, I love Philadelphia. I hate Pittsburgh. So I was like, Pennsylvania, I don't know that I love you, but Philadelphia, I love so much. And I know it's a good city if I'm like, I want to come back here on my own free time and like explore and see, and see more of it.
Yeah.
But I think Madison was the most surprising of the random, because it's not the major city, so
I think we really loved Royal Oak, which is the Detroit suburb.
Yes, loved Royal Oak. Yeah,
Manny and I took Rosie and Bonzo on a walk. We went to the cutest playground in this adorable neighborhood, and we were both like, "What, Royal Oak? Who are you, girl? Like, you are cute." Loved Royal Oak.
Oh, I also loved Columbia, Missouri.
Columbia. Uh-huh. Really? I didn't go around.
You didn't really go around. It kind of reminded me of Madison. They're both college towns, so maybe they're just like the vibe of a college town.
Maybe.
Also, Kansas City, didn't hate.
Kansas City.
Turned out to be pretty.
Turns out we like you.
Yeah. You're pretty. You're more than just a football team. Yeah. Turns out
that was a vibe. We enjoyed Kansas. First of all, Trey Kennedy's neighborhood.
Oh my gosh!
I don't know what the neighborhood is. When I'm going to tell you if we didn't know, but
straight from a Hallmark movie. I mean,
Trey Kennedy's neighborhood is gorgeous,
stunning, and it's because it's fall. Oh, that's my favorite thing too. Is like, we don't, at least living in LA, I don't get fall.
Right, right.
Nashville, yes, you get fall, but this was, I mean, the most gorgeous changed color trees. Reds, yellows, oranges.
Beautiful homes.
Oh my god, stunning.
It wasn't like when we say beautiful homes, it wasn't like you go through this like gated community of these just like bougie house. It wasn't that. It was like there were very beautiful homes in a quaint family neighborhood.
Yeah.
It felt like a Hallmark movie.
It felt like a Hallmark movie. It reminded me, it felt like if you've ever seen Hocus Pocus, and like I remember looking in the treats and I was like, I bet trick-or-treating is so good here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was like, the leaves. I was like, I bet everybody goes all out. Like,
yeah.
It's just so, I bet it's beautiful at Christmas. Like, you know, it's just stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. What
was another one I'm thinking of? Honestly, it was the first stop, but Denver? We had fun in Denver.
Oh, I love Denver. Denver's always.
We've always known we love Denver, though.
Always love Denver.
We had a great time.
Yeah.
We did so much walking, went to the museums, went to restaurants.
Yes.
Denver was a vibe.
Yeah. I know. I love the cities that we get to spend, that we have off days in, because then we really have time. Like on show days, sometimes we have time in the morning, but it can get a little, at least for me, I get anxious. Like when we were in St. Louis and we were sitting at that coffee shop and I was like, we should walk back and get sandwiches.
Every time you say a city, it takes me a second to find it in my brain.
That was,
St. Louis.
St. Louis. Also cutie neighborhood where I said.
Oh, the last. Yeah.
Where we could go trick-or-treating.
Wasn't that our last show?
Yeah. And on the bus. Yes.
Yeah.
And But it was a two-show day, and I had people showing up at 2 o'clock, and it was like 11:30, and I wanted to take a shower and wash my hair. And so we're sitting there, and I was like, you guys want to walk back now? Or like, no one. And I was like, this is an internal timeline that I have that I haven't told anybody, but I was like, we got to skedaddle. And your auntie lady was like, let's do a TikTok. And I was like, I simply don't have time.
Let's do a TikTok.
I cannot.
I enjoyed having Auntie Letty out. We've had some guests out, some friends come and join the bus. It was a good time. All right, let's talk. Do you have any kind of resolution for this new year that we are 2026? We're here.
I usually like to phrase it more as like, these are my goals. I think a resolution is a goal.
Yeah, right.
Same thing, but I just, my brain understands it more just by saying, these are my goals for the year. I mean, moving, I guess, is a goal of mine this year. Scary. And also telling my friends about it.
Surprise.
Actually, I plan to tell them, obviously we are recording this a little in advance, but I plan to tell them over New Year's. So, because
they don't know yet. I feel like we've already talked about it.
Some know. Some know. Not everybody.
Oh, okay. They don't listen to our podcast. That's
fine. No, it's fine. They watch the clips. but they don't know it's like official. So you heard it here first.
One more time.
You heard it here first, folks.
You say the L?
It's because I was trying to say folks.
You say the L and folks?
Folks.
Yeah, it's folks.
What did I say?
Folks.
You heard it here first, folks. No, I said it again, didn't
I? Yeah.
I don't know. I'm anxious. but I guess that's, and obviously to, again, finish the tour, get through the taping, and then relax.
Yeah.
That would be a good.
Yeah.
That would be do nothing.
Yeah.
Is the goal?
Do nothing is a goal.
Yeah.
This coming year we finish the tour, finish the taping, and I also would like to rest for sure. Mm-hmm. I'll say something I'm looking forward to.
Uh-huh.
And I have some goals too. Looking forward to doing a little mini Fungula tour.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
We're going to take this podcast on tour, do mm-hmm. a few little cities, and do some live episodes. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. I want to, an actual goal of mine is to get back in my groove of movement and moving and exercising.
Mm-hmm.
I used to find a lot of joy in it.
Yeah.
And when I'm in it, I have joy.
Yeah.
But it's getting back to it. It's been a struggle since having Rosie.
Yeah.
It's definitely been a struggle of getting back to enjoying.
And you've been traveling routine. So much.
It's hard.
It's almost impossible to have a routine.
I don't want to say it's impossible because I see my husband wake up on the tour bus every day, ride his bike to a gym, go work out, or Uber to a gym, go work out, come back. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. If I wanted to, I could make it happen.
Yeah, well, he's crazy.
Yeah. So. But also, he doesn't have shows at night. Yeah. I do. So I get it. We're different people, first of all, because even when we're home, he goes to the gym every single day. Like, that's one of his favorite parts of the day is mm-hmm. waking up and leaving at 5 a.m. to go to the gym. Like, he loves that. I don't love that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to get back into a groove of where I love movement and I love Pilates, Orange Theory, whatever kind of workout class, going for a run, like something.
And I feel like that's such a good mindset. I feel like it's always like, I'm going to lose weight this year. And it's like, no, don't do that. Do movement. Get back into like routine. I think that's such a healthier way to view it, of not as so much as like, I'm going to lose 30 pounds. But no, I'm just going to treat my body better.
Yeah.
I feel like that's because I feel the same way of like, I also want to do that. But I feel silly sometimes saying that. I also find working out super embarrassing. What do you mean I have to stand here and like lift this random weight and we're all just doing it? Like that, let's go somewhere else. Like going to the gym gives me so much anxiety because I'm like, nobody look at me. And nobody is. I know nobody is. Yeah. But also, I'm looking at everyone else. So what if they are looking at me? So I just get so into my head about that kind of stuff. But I want to do the same. I also want to I just want my lower back to stop hurting is really.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Usually if you have... Sometimes when you have pain in your body, it's usually because you got to exercise. You got to movement. Truly. Like, and it's not like the pain in your back is probably because you need to strengthen your core.
Yeah.
It's all of those things. Same thing. My lower back.
But sit-ups is so weird.
Oh, my God. Do planks.
Oh, scary.
My sister said that to me the other day. She was, because I'm like, I'm not exercising, I need to move, blah, blah, blah. She's like, well, why don't you start with just plank every day for like a minute, and that'll like help with your core. And I'm like, all right. I did it 3 days in a row and then forgot until this moment right now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I do, a lot of it for me, too, is just finding the motivation to just go. Because I will say once I'm there, I'm like, okay, well, now I'm here.
Yeah.
So I'll do it. And... get past, I'm like, well, okay, we're all doing it. We're all running on the treadmill. Oh, what's that guy doing? Oh, he looked dumb. All right, well.
Oh, no, do I look dumb?
No, everyone does. Everyone looks ridiculous. I'm sorry. Even if you're so fully fit, we all look ridiculous in a gym. I think it's highly hilarious and embarrassing. And that's funny. I think everybody looks ridiculous.
That's hilarious.
I do. I think it's so, it's just, I think it's maybe like a human thing where I'm like, we're goofy species. Like,
yeah.
I also just sometimes I want to just like shoot a basketball. Like sometimes I wish I had like a home gym or something. I don't even have a home, but I have an apartment. But I know I do.
That's something to put on your apartment list. Yeah. Must have basketball court.
Thank you so much. Yeah, but movement is. I like how you said that. Yeah. Just
you're welcome. You can take it.
Thank you. I did. So
take it to yours. If you want to share your goals for the new year, please leave us a comment on YouTube, or you can message us on our Instagram page. Yeah. You can email us. Tell us what your whatever you want to call it, resolution, goal, something you're looking forward to in the new year. Email us, call us on the phone number. You could tell us what you're looking forward to this year, what your goal is.
You
want to share your gratitude from the last year. Let's give them the information again. We did it at the beginning of the episode, but just do it one more time.
You can leave a voicemail at 747-300-5380. I guess I could have played the song. I didn't think about it.
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
All right.
747-300-5380. Give us a call. Ooh, yeah. There it is. And you can also email us at fungilapodcast@gmail.com, or angela.com has a form as well.
Do you want to play some?
Well, I don't have any. I have some New Year's resolutions, but they were emailed to us.
Oh, okay, read it.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I'll just read a few. So Megan says, my New Year's resolution for 2026 is to cultivate a daily writing practice.
Ooh. Ooh, love that.
I like that one. I thought that one was really good.
Oh, I wonder if it's just creative writing or just like journaling or anything. Either way, that's great. I love that.
Anything that
I'm going to take that one too. Stolen.
Seems me too. Let's see. Oh, I clicked on the wrong email. Okay. Jessica says, my New Year's resolution in 2026 is to take time for myself and try to see my friends more.
I love that.
And I also...
I always co-sign that.
Want to do that too. Let's see. Oh, I like this one. Okay, so Mary says, she's got two, and I think they're both really good. She says, one of my New Year's resolutions is to get my student loan balance down to 4 digits.
Hey.
Law school was worth every penny, but I'm ready for these loans to be gone. Relatable. Wow. I understand. Mm-hmm. I often just pretend they don't exist. So there's that. Another resolution Mary says is to take my son on a few exciting trips next year. Locations TBD, but he is at a fun age where anywhere we go is an adventure.
Oh, that's special.
Yeah. So look out, if he's really young, look out for Angela's Children's Museum tour of
That's right.
America.
That's right.
You can tell.
I wonder how old he is, if he's at that age where everything's magical.
Oh, yeah.
A camping trip is fun.
He's probably young. She says she's in her mid-30s, so.
Yeah, like a mom and me overnight camping trip. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, how fun would that be?
Yes.
Super exciting. What's another fun, easy trip she can do? Since everything's magical, you don't need to like take him across the world. You can just take him down the street.
They do, yeah. I mean, Rosie gets excited about everything.
Whatever. Yeah, the store, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good one. That's all I have to offer is the camping trip, apparently.
We already kind of answered this question, but she wrote, I sort of hate New Year's. This is Whitney wrote, I sort of hate New Year's resolutions because they make me feel like I'm already under a lot of pressure. So I'm actually curious to know how you guys feel about them. Are they motivating to you? And if so, how often do you find that you achieve your resolutions?
I mean, in the same way that I was like, I'm going to do planks.
Yeah.
I did it for 3 days and then forgot.
Yeah.
I think that I'm the same way with resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I'll always think of something. I'll put something out there and be like, yeah, this would be nice to try to. But I also am, I think I kind of make them attainable. Like I said, like, mine was like, to get through the tour. Well, I know we are.
Yeah.
I know we are. So,
to breathe again.
Yeah.
I did it.
You guys, I've already accomplished my resolutions for the year, Winning. And it's January. But I do think it is silly to put pressure on yourself. But I think it's good to have goals, but then also have the mentality of like, well, if I don't hit it, I'll still be okay.
You know? Also, I think kind of what you were saying earlier where you were like, my birthday is more of a thing. This
really
day
is. Yeah.
There's other things throughout the year that are more like, stand out to you than a New Year's resolution. I think if you come up with a New Year's resolution or a goal or whatever, and then a couple months go by and you're like, oh, I totally have not even been working on that. I haven't been moving. I haven't been blah, 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 whatever it is. Then whatever day that is, March 3rd, guess what? You could start right then.
Yeah.
You could say, all right, well,
I was
obviously that didn't work for me.
Yeah.
So what if I rephrase this? Because what if you were like, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. That was your resolution.
Yeah.
Then you can, you know, rephrase it on March 3rd when you wake up and go, man, I haven't even been doing this. Then you could be like, you know what? I'm going to just exercise every day. And I'm not going to worry about the weight and number. I'm just going to make sure I exercise every day, even if it's just 15 minutes a day. Maybe start with that. And then by the time you get to May or June, then you're like, oh my gosh, I lost 13 pounds. It's not my 20, but I lost 13 pounds. That's more than from January to March.
Yeah, because for me, it was like, just go to the gym.
Yeah.
That's the goal. Just get there.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, I did it. I got here.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. I know, because I think too, for me, the reason I said birthday is because I think in the past, I've always viewed goals of like, well, I'm going to do this by the time I'm this age. When I'm this age, I'm going to have all, which, by the way, never has that ever worked out. Never, ever. But I don't know. I think maybe because this year I turned 35, my brain was like, big year.
Yeah.
You know, like I felt like 30 was a big year. And now I don't know. I guess it's just like every five, and my brain is like, got to do something cool.
Yeah.
Got to do something. I mean, I'm nowhere where I thought I would be at 35, but I don't say that in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just different. It's just not what I thought it was going to be and what I expected, I guess. I don't know that it was so much of what I wanted, but what I expected.
Yeah.
Just from the way I was raised and brought up, and I just thought it would be different. But I like where it is right now, so...
There it is.
Don't worry about it.
So you're winning.
Yeah. I have one last resolution, which I feel like is a good way to end. Brandy says, my New Year's resolutions for 2026 is to always be kinder and softer in the year ahead. I like to think I've hit that year after year.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
I thought that was sweet.
We can always be kinder, not only to people in the parking lot at the grocery store, but to yourself.
Yeah.
Be kinder to yourself when you think not nice things. I did that this morning. I had a not nice thing I said about myself in my head. And I wanted everything to say it out loud, but I was holding Rosie at the time. We were in my bathroom. We're standing in front of the mirror, and I'm holding Rosie, and Manny's standing right here. And I saw myself in the mirror, and I wanted to say something. I thought it in my head, and I was like, oh, I just want to say it out loud, but I'm like, I'm not going to say that in front of her.
Yeah.
But then if I'm not going to say it in front of her, I don't need to say it to myself either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was like, you know, just move on.
Yeah.
Move on.
I know we're trying to wrap things up, but I feel like, have you noticed that shift a lot since you've had her?
If she's around, for sure. I don't say any of the things that I would have said before.
She's always looking at you now.
Yeah. And if she's not around, it's definitely a dialogue where I think also since that episode that we did with Diana Marie Riva. That has also got me reminding myself to be kinder to myself and have grace. And so getting back to what she said, be kinder to yourselves. You know what I mean? Be kinder to yourself in 2026 in your thoughts. If you have a mean thought about yourself, just say, hey, that's not nice. In the same way you would say that to somebody said something mean to your child. You'd be like, hey, that's not nice. Yeah. Don't say that to my daughter.
And you don't want them thinking those thoughts.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this is a good recap and vision for 2026. I hope you guys have a beautiful 2026. There, it's going to be ups and downs because that's life, and that's what happens in life, ups and downs. But we pray that your ups are super ups and your downs aren't so down. That you just have a beautiful 2026.
Yes.
Thank you guys for listening.
And also, keep listening to us because we have very exciting things coming this year.
That's right. So,
lots of things for us, too.
I thought you were going to be, and also with you.
And also, not me. No, I'm over here trying to promote your life.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're taping a special, so that's going to drop this year probably.
So for sure. Maybe lots of cool things
more
happening.
More on the road episodes. Definitely more on the road
episodes.
Yeah,
we're doing a tour. We're going to do a tour. I got an hour special I'm going to tape and release. Yeah. Lots of fun things ahead over here. So keep listening to Fungula. Keep telling your friends about us.
Yes.
And we'll see you next time.
Happy New Year.
Bye. Yep, that's the freeze frame right there. That's the one. Take it. Right there, Joseph.